In the epistle today, St. Paul tells the Ephesians, "Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." A few weeks ago, when I was getting my regular checkup, the doctor, he's an interesting man, he struck up a very engaging conversation, as often does happen between doctors and priests. He started talking about how so many today, not only the young but the older ones too, are stressed beyond their limits. And he said that more people are on medication to calm their nerves than one would initially imagine. Now, he didn't say this, he didn't make this statement in any negative way or with any lack of compassion. It was just a matter of fact. And he said that for him, it was a mix of things. It was, first of all, to turn on social media or the news, all you hear about are problems in the political world, and then the wars and rumors of wars that have been filling the news, everything in society collapsing. And he said, that will cause a lot of undue anxiety. But it was interesting, too, he must be, I don't know if he's a Novus Ordo Catholic or what, but he also said that if only people would trusted more in God, there wouldn't be so much. But I would add to this the fact that, remember, the communists, they're still at work. They might have gone a little bit to the background. They're not locking you up in your homes anymore or firing you from your jobs necessarily, but they still are hard at work. Remember always that one of their tactics is to destroy what many call the human spirit. That is, any bit of enthusiasm that you have, and they want to wear you down with fear so that you have no energy left to resist. Think of all that we have been through since 2020. The litany of things goes on and on, beginning with the lockdowns and COVID. It's almost a miracle that we still have our sanity. It was October 7th last year, if you remember, the Feast of the Holy Rosary, when the Israeli conflict broke out, and it was just around the same time this year when 180 missiles, imagine that, were fired at Israel but were intercepted. And this has reignited all sorts of talk about large-scale war. And you add to this the fact that the Ukraine-Russia conflict has accelerated, and now, since September, there has been serious talk about nuclear war. But wars and rumors of wars. It seems to me that we hear that phrase in Scripture somewhere. But they say, I was reading a news article recently, they say that much of life in Israel, despite all of the war the last year, has returned to normal in the entertainment districts of Tel Aviv. But they say that this normalcy is actually only surface deep. They did sort of an interview with many of the people in that town, and most of them admitted that they are feeling quite depressed and despondent and angry as the war stretches into its second year, and the uncertainty that they all have of their future has cast a shadow over everything. This is what the people say. And for me, being a pastor of souls, I must admit that I've seen an uptick of souls going through periods of very intense sadness and depression the past few months. And again, those words that we find in that article about the Israelis, the words depression and despondency come to mind. We shouldn't be surprised, though. Actually, remember, the devil is the prince of this world and is very active these days, as one who has eyes can see. And he is one who spreads his melancholy spirit everywhere. Well, St. Paul tells us, and it is the truth, our wrestling, it's not a political fight, not at all. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. What I've seen in these days is truly a war, a battle, fought hard against souls, and the enemy using well his weapons, despondency among them. What is despondency? The definition is this: it is a state of very low spirits caused by loss of hope or courage. Spiritually speaking, it is the most dangerous temptation that the devil employs. In other temptations, we clearly see that it is wrong to allow the mind to dwell on them. For example, temptations against holy purity. It's very clear that there's a temptation. But when it comes to despondency, we usually fail to recognize that we are being tempted. And we see all sorts of strong motives for giving in to that feeling of despondency because we don't see it as a temptation. The problem is this: despondency makes us imagine that perseverance in the practice of virtue is completely impossible. It leaves the soul liable to be overcome by not one or two, but all of its passions. This is simply put because we have lost hope of overcoming difficult situations, whether it's in the spiritual life or in the life of society, where so many evils are being forced upon us by a society which has rejected God. Now, the devil, just like the communists, wants you to be so overwhelmed with a sense of fear and helplessness that you no longer have the strength of will to resist their attacks. Communism is from the devil. You know that. Have you given up hope and grown despondent in any area of your life? Now, what if after Mass today, you came and talked to me, and I told you that you must put all of your confidence in the Almighty God as the saints did? If your first thought or your first response is that, well, the saints had confidence in God because they were saints and they served God faithfully. They never let him down. So of course they could have confidence. But me, I'm a sinner. Then you know that you're being tempted by the most dangerous of all the devil's weapons, despondency. Because the truth is, the saints did not hope in God because they were faithful to him. No, that is hoping in oneself. And we can't do that. They were faithful to God because they hoped in him and they believed in his promises. St. Edward III, he lived in a hopeless time. He was the King of England during a time when the Danish had conquered England, and he found himself banished to France. And this banishment out of his home and country never once caused him to grow despondent, but rather he bore all with patience because he placed all of his hope where it belonged, in God. And it is true from this following anecdote, it is clear from this anecdote. Some of his advisors one day counseled King Edward to take back his kingdom by force of arms. Do you know his answer? His answer was, "I do not desire a crown which must be won by shedding blood." He placed all his hope in God, and whatever God wanted for him and his kingdom, that's up to God. But in God, and his hope paid off. In God's own time, King St. Edward was recalled from exile and regained his throne. And do you know what the first action was when he regained his throne? It was not to punish the evildoers, as many governments would do. It was God first. He revived the worship of the true God in his country. He reformed all of the corrupt morals of his subjects because, he said, and this is a quote, "The most efficacious means to secure the happiness of a country is religion and the fear of God, for the well-being of a state depends mostly on the prosperity of its church." And so all of the revenues that were stolen from churches were quickly restored under King Edward. Churches and monasteries were repaired, and the public worship of the one true God was restored to England. He himself spent his life in prayer, penance, and works of charity. Now, let's go to another true story. In the breviary to this week, the church tells us of all of the valiant battles that are fought by the Maccabees for their country. And oh, how many evil things were being done to their country. Today's reading in Matins narrates the very heroic courage of Judas Maccabee, who fell in battle. He was killed. Now, there is no mention of any prayer that fell from his lips as he lay there dying, but he was a holy man, and we can pretty much be sure that he was praying. And his words were not words of bitterness or despondency, but words of a soldier who had placed all of his hopes in God, and whose hopes, therefore, could not be shaken. These prayers we can read in the responsories of Matins today, and they should fill your soul with such courage and hope in all of the battles that you have to fight. The first is, "Be ye not afraid of the assault of the enemy. Remember in what manner our fathers were saved, and now let us cry to heaven, and our God will have mercy upon us." And the second is even more beautiful. "The nations are come together against us to destroy us, and we know not what we should do. O Lord God, our eyes look to thee, that we may not perish. Thou knowest what they intend against us. How shall we be able to stand before their face, unless thou help us?" And the third and final is enough to bring courage into the weakest of hearts. They say, "Our enemies are gathered together, and they glory in their power. Crush their strength, O Lord, and scatter them, that they may know that there is none other that fightest for us but thou, our God." Whether the fight that you are going through is for your own soul or for Christ's reign in society, there is absolutely no room for despondency. Our hope must not be in politicians. Our hope must not be in force of arms. And our hope certainly is not in anything that we do. We learn from St. Edward and Judas Maccabee to place all our hope in God. Do you find yourself these days overwhelmed with sorrow and sadness, despondent in your spiritual life? It is a temptation. You must fight it. However, remember this, and I close on this, our method of fighting must be that of the saints, by means of prayer and reparation. If you're worried for your soul, if you're worried for society, then fight like the saints. And I expect to see a huge crowd fighting like saints tonight at the Fatima Rosary procession. That is how we bring peace to the world. And by means of the October devotions, the Rosary said every single day. And finally, in 2 weeks with the 40 hours devotion. These are the opportunities of grace in which we can fight against the principalities and powers, and in which we can make reparation for sins of nations, and perhaps call down upon all of us the mercy of God. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.